Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have a packed episode for you. We have Paul Rabel from the Premier Lacrosse League. He taught us all about lacrosse. He is, some may say, the GOAT of lacrosse. Very, very fun time, interesting interview with him. He's a really good guy.
We gave him some pretty surefire winners for the PLL.
Yeah.
And had to goose the ratings a little bit.
He is what will make me watch lacrosse because I'm like, damn, that was a really likable guy. He's not really like the classic lax bro that, Chad or Brad. Even that wouldn't be bad. But Paul Rabel, really good guy. We also hosted Kentucky Sports Radio, one of our favorite days of the year. We gave you some clips from some unbelievable callers. We also have the debut of our 69-year-old intern, Jilly Football, and License to Jill. And then on top of all that, we have Firefest and NBA Finals and Drake and owners pushing players and a packed Friday
Big
show.
Big Friday energy
Huge
today.
Huge Friday energy.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, let's go. Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by the Cash App. Put in code Barstool. You'll get $5 to ASPCA. Save some animals. Today is Friday, June 7th. And if you're wondering what happened in Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final, we are live watching the third period for you. So we will live react as the episode goes along. We have an awesome, awesome Friday show for you. Paul Rabel coming up. Kentucky Sports Radio Ghost Stories. Jilly Football. All of it's coming. We're watching the game.
Oh!
I'm feeling Hank is reacting as we go.
It's,
they're on a
right
power
now, it's
play.
It's Blues 1-0. We got 15:45 left in the third. A minute left on the power play for the B words.
So we won't talk about it unless there's a goal or unless something big happens. But we're going to start with the NBA Finals. We're going to start with Game 3. We have a lot of storylines that came out of it, but I want to talk about the actual game first. We're actually NBA fans. We're not this league
fans. I'm not a fan. I'm a journalist.
Right.
Speak for yourself. I'm objective.
Okay. So, absolute ass-kicking by the Raptors.
Boardman gets paid.
Steph Curry with an all-time performance, 47 points, 8 rebounds. He had the most rebounds of the Warriors, which is incredible. He basically tried to will the Warriors to a victory. The Warriors were putting out like some hilarious lineups because no Klay Thompson, no Kevin Durant. And
who's the guy that looked like Detlev Schrempf got the chicken pox?
Drebko.
Yeah.
He's got no fucking armpit hair.
No game.
Yeah.
No game Drebko.
No. Yeah. The Warriors lineup was like every now and then. Well, Steph was on fire, but every now and then one of their guys would make a shot. But for the majority of the game, it was like open shots because everyone was guarding Steph, and then some bum missing.
What sucks is that when it's a Warriors game, I can't turn the game off early if it's a blowout.
No.
Because you never know.
They cut it to like six.
It feels the same story every time the Raptors take a game from, or even when the Rockets were beating them. But you can't turn off the game even in the fourth quarter. There were like 2 minutes left. They were down by 10 points, down by 12 points, and it's like, shit, I really need to let Leroy out and have him take a massive dump. But I can't because Steph Curry might just catch fire again and
ruin
my night for me.
Right.
A lot of people are also complaining about the late start time to the game. I like the late start time for two reasons. One, it separates the men from the boys.
True.
As a real fan, it's like I have to work for it. I know that lesser fans don't stay up for it. Number two, it gives me way more time to lock in my bet. So I think that the NBA actually really enjoys these late start times because it gives it
Adam
makes,
Silver loves he's a betting man.
It gives people a much larger window with which to lock in their bet.
To think about it.
So they'll tune in.
So the other parts of the game, Klay Thompson obviously being out, hurts the Warriors not only obviously on offense, that's very apparent, but defensively he's like, I mean, he changes everything. The Raptors got whatever they wanted. They shot like 47 from three. Mm-hmm. They were on fire all night. And then I want to give a special shout out to my guy Boogie Cousins because what he did in game two was phenomenal. And like any fat guy, he was like, I got mine. I'm not coming back for game three because he no-showed game three. And I like it because you know that he was like a little extra sore from game two.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I've done my part. You guys don't need me like to do this every game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly, they needed it on game three and he just didn't show up for it.
Yeah, he would do the thing where he occasionally to look like you're hustling if you're playing pickup basketball and you're an out of shape guy, just bring the ball up court once or twice and then pass it immediately. But
yes,
for that play, as far as everybody else is concerned, you were the point guard.
My move to always get a laugh if I bring the ball up is I just call a fake play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's Indiana, Indiana, everyone get it set up. And then you just pretend like you throw the ball and then go set a pick. And everyone's like, ha-ha.
You say triangle. Just set up the triangle for me.
All right. So I actually think the Warriors are totally fine. I mean, that's not like a hot take, but Clay's going to be back. I think they – sitting Clay, they were like, look, we're the Warriors. Like, we'll be fine. Let's get him 100% healthy or close to 100%. He's not going to be 100% for the rest of the series. But – they know that they can win on the road. They can know they can win down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Kevin Durant's going to play this series. We've said that on Wednesday.
Did you see him after the game in the tunnel? He was doing
Achilles.
He was doing the good job, good effort.
He also was
icing
his Achilles.
He was the good job, good effort kid for the Warriors.
He was icing his Achilles.
Well, it's a lower calf strain.
He also has been ruled out for game four already.
Yeah.
So I like how we're getting even further away. Like, we're going to rule him out for game five the minute game four ends.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think they're fine because of the Warriors. And I know people don't like the Warriors or sick of the Warriors, but I actually love this series because they're being tested to the absolute limit, and it's like they will really earn this if they win this series.
Yeah, and then there was obviously the story of the partial owner of the Warriors.
Mark Stevens.
Mark Stevens giving a little shove to Kyle Lowry as he dove into the sand.
I want to start with the partial owner part because I don't know if you've noticed what the media has been doing and the Warriors have been doing and the NBA. He started as an owner.
Mm-hmm.
Now he went to owner to partial owner. Then he was a minority owner. Then he was an investor.
Well, he's definitely white.
Yes.
Oh,
well,
minority
stake.
Yes.
And then he was an investor. And then, like, by the start of game four, he's going to be like some dude who just gave us a lot of money once.
Yeah, he bought a lot of T-shirts.
Yeah, we just decided to give him a little stake. They're distancing themselves so far from this guy. And
never heard of him.
He's going to have to sell his stock here or his investment in the Warriors. Poor Mark Stevens, it's like it's gone up like 4.5 times, so he's going to make a shitload of money from it.
You think they can offer that to KD to stick around?
Mm. Or LeBron to come?
Or LeBron to come. But let me just say this.
But then he can't call himself an owner.
This is almost like you're right, that's true.
That's
problematic. Almost an epidemic going on. Like, everyone's talking about how many owners are pushing players in the stands in the NBA. This is the type of thing that never happens in the NBL. Down in Australia,
no,
down in New Zealand.
We've never pushed. We've never gone to a game.
Listen, it never happens there.
We won't. We promise to never even go to a game. Mm-hmm. So that's how safe you are.
A lot of people are talking. A lot of people are talking about players that are going to ditch the NBA, and go play overseas because they're sick of getting assaulted by the owners.
There's like, it's not complicated because you should never ever touch a player. Mm-hmm. That's like point blank, end of story. Never touch a player. The complicated part to me slightly is it was very clearly like he was blacked out and almost like his fandom came over him.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sitting on the couch, you're throwing your remote at the TV. He just happened to be sitting right next to Kyle Lowry when he went in his lap and he shoved him.
Listen,
and not excusing it, but I also like understand how someone can black out in the moment and be like, fuck this guy. We're getting our ass kicked.
You know what? This is a Silicon Valley guy. He's exposed to all the finest.
Mark Jackson said he's from the suburbs.
Well, I'm saying he's exposed to all the finest in 4K, 3D technology when it comes to watching these games live.
Yeah.
He's probably watched games on his couch where it felt like the players were diving into his living room.
Yes.
So he's probably comfortable shoving at them and getting away with it because they're not real. It's the technology that he has access to. So when he's at a game, he can't tell what's in the Matrix and what's real life.
No, of course not. He also...
Fuck.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay, Hank.
No goal, Hank. Calm down.
That was Hank screaming about a no goal.
Hank almost hanked himself on that one.
13 minutes left in the game.
It's Paul Pierce now.
Left a little Hank in there.
The other part of like the Kyle Lowry going into the stands, the woman in the second row...
She got lit up.
She got jacked up. Mm-hmm. Like... Straight up whiplash, concussion, neck brace. But because this fucking little loser, Mark Stevens, who probably has more money to buy and sell us a million times over, mm-hmm. gave Kyle Lowry a little push, that's the story. So I feel bad for her.
I do too. Because like
she's not even a first row guy.
That's
person.
Right.
She's not rich. She didn't have $2.3 billion.
It was
she's
like,
probably got like $500 million.
That sucks for her.
It sucks.
It did look like a hit from NFL Blitz that she took. And it was like, you know what, to her credit, she kind of chewed it.
Yeah.
She got hit directly in the thorax, right?
Yes.
Right in the sternum region.
Yeah.
And she just like sat down calmly and then kind of rubbed her shoulder out a little bit.
She's Marcus Mariota would have been out for the season with that.
Oh, yeah. He would be dead. He would have. Marcus Mariota would have turned into a cloud of dust.
So he is now going to have to probably sell his stake. He's banned for a year. It's got to be really awkward because I've always wondered, like, well, actually, we ourselves are minority stake owners.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of awkward because we know there's guys with bigger swinging dicks who have, you know, more money than us who actually invested in the team and put in the paperwork mm-hmm. and all that shit like we haven't. That might be a goal, by the way. It's got to be weird to be that guy who's
parallax effect
already walking on eggshells a little bit.
My God, I actually think it might be.
Yeah.
The parallax effect?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, it might be. To be that guy who's already walking on eggshells because he's rich, but he's not the richest,
uh-huh.
and he doesn't own the team, to then fuck the team over like this.
Yeah.
That's got to be a weird... I don't know who even owns the lake up or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Texting him the next morning has got to be fucking weird.
That's got to be tough for sure.
It's like your dumb, drunk buddy who always fucks up at the party.
You really fucked this one up.
Yeah, and he's just like, hey, man, I'm sorry that you know, like I took a shit in your pool... And broke your jacuzzi. My bad. And it's like, come on, man.
I mean,
like,
fair
you
is
always
fair.
Fuck this
fair
up.
Is fair. Drake should be allowed to assault one player on the Warriors.
Okay, so speaking of Drake, let's talk about Drake and his war with the Warriors.
Are we going to ignore the beehive going
no,
after?
No, we're getting there.
Okay.
We're getting there.
All right, good. That's the big story.
We're getting
story.
There. Drake burned Klay Thompson by posting a picture of Klay, like, basically with a bunch of women that I think he might have had sex with.
Mm-hmm. Own.
That was... an all-time old.
Pretty sick.
I guess Klay is like in a relationship that like ended poorly because of his cheating ways.
Mm-hmm.
But still, Drake basically was like, Klay has a lot of sex.
What's funny is like Klay could come out with a mixtape right now and absolutely bury Drake, and Drake would not respond
like,
to
remember
it.
Remember about your kid that Pusha T said?
Yeah.
Why haven't any of the Warriors done that?
Just gone,
they were,
just
they were
teamed
playing
up with Pusha T?
Like, shoot around and shit? They just kept playing that song on repeat.
Oh,
the Pusha
really?
T song, yeah.
This league, I tell you, this league. All right, that was a no goal. So, yes, the last thing we need to talk about before we get to Firefest of the Week, the Bayhive.
Mm-hmm.
The Bayhive have ruined. This actually was the worst game possible for all the richest people in Golden State, you know, the Golden State Warriors Arena,
uh-huh.
Oracle Arena. All the richest people got. One guy had to sell all his shares and be publicly shamed. And then the wife of one of the owners – like basically asked Jay-Z if he wanted a drink because I think Jay-Z and Beyonce were their guests,
mm-hmm.
but it was the perfect internet clip where Beyonce looked very upset right after and the Bayhive attacked and she had to delete her Instagram and she got threatened. Her life got threatened.
What have I been telling you guys like, about even,
not an overreaction
even
at
the
all.
Danger of one single hornet or bee?
I think it's a beehive.
Bad.
Beehive.
And when the
Bayhive.
Beehive starts to swarm on you, I would rather stick my dick in an actual beehive than to provoke
cross the Bayhive.
The Bayhive, yes. On Instagram.
And I think we actually are provoking them right now.
No,
by
no,
Bayhive.
No.
They're Beehive.
No, is that Beehive? Was Hank. That was Hank that was mispronouncing it.
Is it Beehive or Bayhive?
At Henry Lockwood 1 at Instagram. He was the one mispronouncing
Find him.
It.
Put those bees. Could you imagine, like, the terror. They basically, M. Night Shyamalan should make a movie about it. Like, you just go on your Instagram one day and you see like a couple bees buzzing. Mm-hmm. And then you refresh, and now there's 100 bees, and then you refresh again, and there's 10,000 bee comments.
I had like a small taste of it one time during an award show. I think I said something like it was like Rihanna too, like Rihanna greater than Beyonce, and I got a little taste of like the beehive coming at you.
They buzzed a little.
I can't imagine like the public being in front of the finals game.
Terrifying.
She had
the whole hive just coming at you.
She had to delete her Instagram, and she was I think her life was threatened.
They should do another sequel to My Girl. Where instead of getting like swarmed by an actual swarm of bees, it's you just get killed by stands.
You get killed by by cyberbullying. Yeah, she said, I've never experienced cyberbullying like this. No duh, I can't believe our players go through this. That kids go through this. Well,
your players,
kids know not to fuck with Beyonce.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of on you. Yeah, that the NBA Finals is so fucking funny. Like how many stories come out of each game. It's ridiculous. All right, should we do Firefest Week? Oh, before
Let's
we get to Firefest of the Week.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hank, why don't you start with your Fyre Fest, which I'll start with one for you. You want to go to Game 7 for your birthday, and the Bruins look like they might lose Game 5.
That's okay.
Okay.
A lot of time left.
All right. Good Fyre Fest, Hank.
Okay, anyway, my Fyre Fest
Hank's Fyre Fest is having to talk on the number one sports podcast when he'd rather be watching TV.
Ooh.
You're the one that said let's record it during the
game.
That's
true.
Literally, like, you brought that up.
That's true. That's on us.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, my bad, I guess. It wasn't my idea to put it on.
Okay.
My Fyre Fest of the Week is that I watched a Jonas Brothers documentary, and I actually really liked them.
Oh, why is that a Fyre Fest?
No, that's kind of a Fyre Fest. You have to do some internal reckoning.
You go into it, you're
now.
Like, oh, Jonas Brothers, those guys are losers. Like, only teenage girls like them, blah, blah, blah. They're, you know, you think they're just a product of the Disney Channel, and it's like, then you watch the documentary, you realize they were grinding for like 3 years. No one, like, family had to leave their house and all this shit. You're like, oh,
mm-hmm.
kind
it's
of
like
a cool
when
story.
I watched Chernobyl, and I was like, radiation's kind of badass.
Yeah.
Chernobyl's kind of, every time I go on the train, I'm like, what if you just walk outside and you're fucked?
Yeah.
It's like you walk into a radiation cloud.
Chernobyl?
Yeah, you're done. And you know what's really scary is that if it had gone up into the atmosphere the way that some people predicted it was going to, the like jet stream would have carried the radiation all
everywhere.
Over the world.
Yeah. It's crazy that I mean, I know why it's highly rated because it was obviously very well done, but man, that's a fucking bummer of a show.
Mm-hmm.
Like real bummer.
Well, we
learned
our lesson.
Sucked. Really sucked. All right, you got any other Fyre Fests?
Fire Fest of the week?
Yeah.
That was my fest.
Okay.
Was you like the Jonas Brothers now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, you know, it was my girlfriend. I was like, oh, I'm watching a Jonas Brothers documentary. I was like, oh, Jonas Brothers, those guys are losers. And then I sat there, watched it, and I was like, oh.
Do they have any songs that slap? Which songs go?
Year 3000.
How many are there?
There's three. So one of them is like the biggest.
Blues just scored a goal.
Fuck.
Blues just scored a goal. That looks like that might be it. Mm. Wow. There's
Marshawn is crying into his soul patch.
Blues just scored a goal. Hank. That literally happened during your Fyre Fest.
That's tough.
Your Fyre Fest was still open while that happened.
Your Fyre Fest got Fyre Fest cucked by your actual team.
Yeah. That was you got to clear the puck.
Yeah.
We're watching you.
Get the puck out of the zone.
It looked like maybe a trip.
Got
what
tripped.
Are you doing? Looked like a trip.
They're going to have,
the ref was right there.
Yeah,
looked like
they let
a
the boys
trip.
Play in the Stanley Cup final.
Blues goal, his seventh of the postseason, number 57, David Perron. Perron, 924.
That was
thank you.
That was Cheek Marsh, who's in the building doing the in-game announcing for us, the arena announcing. Hank, that's tough. That should have been a trip. That felt like a trip.
He slew-footed him.
Oh, whoa! Who was that? That's Cam Neely. He just fucking rocketed a water bottle. That was awesome. Oh, man. It's a good thing he didn't throw it at a player. He would have been suspended for a year.
Cam Neely, that was Wine'em Dine'em 69'em, right?
Seabass.
Yeah.
Yeah, Seabass.
Kick his ass, Seabass.
All right, PFT, what do you got?
My Fyre Fest of the Week, Hank, can you play some like patriotic music underneath this?
We'll see.
Okay. My Fyre Fest of the Week is D-Day.
Uh-oh.
75 years ago, a bunch of soldiers the original influencers got a one-way ticket to an unforgiving, unsupplied beach without proper accommodations or return transportation. Sound familiar? It was the original Firefest. There were no swimming pigs. All they had was the German soldiers that the Rangers
is your Firefest?
Threw off the cliff. I'm trying to give respect to the military.
Okay. How long is this written?
I'm almost done. I'm almost done. So next time you hear a quarterback calling an audible, take a moment to think about the time our military saw their weakness in the opponent's defense and responded by screaming, "Omaha! Omaha!" All right, you can cut the page out.
Okay, so your Firefest is D-Day.
It was showing respect to the original Firefest, which was D-Day.
By saying,
my great uncle got
Firefest.
Shot.
Okay.
That's so your Firefest was
my family,
showing respect.
Your Firefest of the week is
D-Day. Yeah.
I don't think that that's how... Okay.
You're associating the troops with Firefest?
I'm saying that if you...
And also, it's your personal Firefest of the week is D-Day.
If you think that
so you don't
Firefest
like
was bad... Then yeah, well, D-Day was not a fun time.
It's
if you
not
think,
about,
also,
it's not
if you think
Firefest
was bad,
is about the people
imagine
that were
what it was
hurt
but
by Firefest.
The whole point of the segment is your personal Firefest to make the trivial moments in life and make light of it.
No,
and you just had like the most serious moment and tried to make light of it.
Yeah, I fought. Yeah, yikes. You're absolutely right.
Okay,
because I mean, nobody else was going to show respect to that. To
well,
the
we
troops.
Could have said something. You could have just been like, "Hey, let's have a moment of silence."
Sometimes a man's got to take matters into his own hands.
All right, my Firefest.
A moment of
the
silence
week.
On a podcast is a great idea.
Yeah, we've done that before.
We should do that more
we
often.
We've done that
just
before.
Kill a lot of time.
My Firefest of the week is I went home on I think Tuesday night, and my cable didn't work for like 15 minutes. So that was pretty bad.
Stuff. Was it raining?
No, I had to unplug the box and plug it back in.
That sucks.
Do you know when you like turn on your TV, like what's going on? And that first like 30 seconds, you're like, oh, it's probably just slow today.
The announcer just speaking in Spanish.
Yeah, and then like a minute and a half later, you're like, uh-oh, something's wrong. And that thought pops in your head where you say, what if my cable's just broken? And now I have to deal with calling the cable company and scheduling the whole like thing, and it's not going to be back for days and days and days. It's the scariest thing you can have.
But all you have to do usually is just the manual reset.
Yeah,
so,
no,
right?
I did that.
And
but
you were fine. But for
you,
a moment,
those
you,
two
yeah,
minutes.
Oh, your brain goes to a bad place.
You are just yes. like, this might be the end. Like, yeah. I might just call it quits because I might not have cable for a night.
You know what? That's how it's going to happen to our generation. That's when we're going to start actually cutting cords. Is just it's going to coincide when our cable happens to go out, and we'll just be like, you know what, I'd rather not deal with this, so I'll just subscribe to online services.
Also, there is an element where like the cable person relationship is a very fragile one, and now my trust is at an all-time low, so I'm like now flinching every time I turn on my TV for at least a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little PTSD from the time that I wasn't able to turn on my TV for a minute and a half. Mm-hmm. It's a scary time.
Bro, yeah. You have cable?
Oh, don't even start. Hank, are you a cord cutter? No, you have cable.
No, I'm just going to have cable.
Yeah, okay. You have cable.
Thank God.
You have to watch The Bachelorette.
True.
People yeah. who are cord cutters are not sports fans. I'm just going to say it right now.
Because
you are
10
buffering
behind.
And you're watching yep. a minute behind. Like
you
that's,
care more about the money you're saving than
yes,
sports.
Yes, than the actual
want.
Sports and being up to date. You're not a real sports fan. I mean, one of my best friends, like we almost stopped being friends because he cut the cord, and I tried to watch a bowl game with him, and
you know,
I was like,
"That was the main reason I moved out of my apartment."
The whole time, yeah, we got in like the biggest fight ever. I was like, "I can't do this, dude."
You know what's great though about watching sports when there is a 10-second delay? You can talk yourself out of some very bad live bets because what'll happen is you'll be pulling up a live bet line right now, and you're trying to lock it in, and then you refresh Twitter on your other screen, and you see that the exact opposite thing that you want to happen just happened.
But the problem is the live bet is 10 seconds ahead of the real time, so you're 20 seconds behind
yeah.
the live bet, so you don't even know where you are.
Yeah,
like
so
the live bet is so far in the future,
that's what
you
saying.
Can't comprehend
yeah, that's what,
it.
That, no, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
It, like a lot of times, it reminds me that I'm
yeah, yeah.
that I'm wrong about most
yes.
of the things I choose to
yes.
do
yes.
in
yes.
my life.
I see what you're saying. You're absolutely correct. Yes. It's so far in the future, you can't comprehend it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, wait, it's like a total different inning because my stupid cord-cutting ways have made me so far behind all the rest of America.
Yep.
Fucking losers. All right, let's get to our interviews. Paul Rabel. Coming up here.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Okay, here he is, Paul Rabel. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is Paul Rabel. He is a lacrosse legend. He's also commissioner? Owner?
We can,
creator?
We can, yeah, co-founder.
Co-founder of the Premier Lacrosse League, which is starting June 1st, NBC Sports. Are you playing as well?
I'm playing. The Jackie Moon of professional lacrosse.
So are you, let's start here. Are you the GOAT for people who don't, I would say most of our fan base doesn't follow lacrosse. Yeah. Are you the GOAT?
No.
Who is the GOAT?
I would say Gary Gate. You guys familiar with him?
Gary Gate.
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown. Yeah. What was that, Hank?
Tom Schreiber.
It's going to
be like
Gate
that,
guy.
Hank? Out of the gates?
Tom Schreiber?
Tom Schreiber plays in our league.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is he better than you?
Hank thinks, apparently.
Oh, geez. So
yeah, I thought we were going to be aligned when I walked in.
Oh, wow. Hank just stepped in immediately with a zero.
Do you, we're the future.
Would some people call you the GOAT?
Some have on social.
Okay. Yeah. And did you win a national title with John Hopkins?
I did.
Okay.
Johns Hopkins.
Two? One?
Two.
Whoa. Yeah. Who'd you beat? Virginia and Duke, or something?
We beat Duke both times.
Okay, there you go. We know a lot more lacrosse than you think. All right, so my first question is a very important question because I think everyone is wondering this for a lacrosse GOAT. Have you ever had, like, in your deepest, darkest moments, been like, man, I wish I was really good at a real sport?
Yeah, pretty regularly.
I could have made bank.
I mean, Big Cat, I was, like, clawing at you over the last 2 years to get me on the show.
Yeah.
And I'm certain it's because very few people know about professional lacrosse. So
very few.
Yeah, I'm like very empathetic to this situation of like at least being able to sit in here and talk about it.
Good, because that's a big thing. Like,
it's all good.
I think the what happens with sports that aren't the major four sports is you get a lot of please like my sport people, and that turns other people off.
Yeah.
So I actually think lacrosse community is a little different. Every time I've tweeted about it, it's been a little more welcoming than like MMA or soccer, where people are like, you don't know shit.
Really?
So would you say that overall that lacrosse is trying to – the fan base is open and welcome to new fans?
Oh, 100%. I would say widely our fan base is still in its nascent stage. There's 2 million participants, 6 million fans. So relative to the core sports that you guys talk about, it's small. But I've noticed anytime you guys talk about lacrosse or Barstool widely, people just engage. So, like, big agencies have put out reports around lacrosse fans, and they follow other sports more than any other. And so there's, like, really good demos that match with it, is why we built the league, to try to capitalize on it.
Okay.
But, yeah, our I would say a vast majority of our fans listen to this show. They've all been pinging me since your tweet. And pinging is I just realized I gave a cliche
out of the gate.
It's just digging me into a deeper hole.
I mean, as far as like a content creator,
right?
You're right. They're down the right path.
They're all like, Paul, don't fuck this up.
Yeah, this is a big moment
going on.
You probably are the first and last lacrosse guest we'll ever have. Yeah.
So convince me, why is lacrosse the sport of the future when everybody knows that it's rugby?
Well, we built our model. I know you guys were talking about it two shows ago, trying to figure out the geo-based nature of our teams, and there's no geo attached to the teams. We're tour-based, so similar to rugby sevens.
Right, so you're copycats.
What about rugby 15?
Okay. Yes, some good entrepreneurs are copycats.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
So we're copying that tour-based model because it's the only team sport that has done it. But if you look at UFC, NASCAR, PGA Tour, they're all tour-based.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're a smaller sport like lacrosse, we needed to capitalize on the players, on venues, and distribution. And so like the reality is we weren't going to roll out a pro league with 20 owners. They were building venues and blowing this thing out. So it was only really one way to make a large impact. So we had to get creative. And it's hard, though, because, you know, you guys are like, well, who's the team in Chicago? Who's the team in New York?
Right.
And our thought
think of
was
it traditional sports. Yeah.
Yeah. Our thought was with six teams, if we were to label cities to them, that we would just be really local and we wouldn't be able to capitalize on this national growth that the sports had. So by not attaching a city to a team, some fan in San Francisco and New York can just pick their allegiance.
Okay. So on any given, is it going to be like a weekend?
Yes.
A weekend long tournament? Okay,
yeah.
So we were just talking about this the other week. It's actually very easy to understand.
This is not easy
how
to
the
understand.
Tournaments, how the scoring.
Yeah, not at all.
So right now you've got a built-in fan base that understands, because we've discussed it so much, how like a tournament, okay, one team that finishes first, they get X amount of points.
Is that how it's working?
So those points carry over to the next tournament?
We should. So it's seasonal. We should have looked at points, honestly. But what we did was, knowing tour-based, so all six teams are going to be at Gillette this weekend, and we're playing two games on Saturday, one on Sunday, all are on NBC. and three teams will be 1-0, three teams will be 0-1. That's week one. Then the following weekend we're in New York, and then you might have 1-1 teams.
So you did it the right way, okay. Not the rugby way. Good.
No,
so
no.
It
actually matters. Listen, that's very complicated. What you just described. So so you have three teams that win, and then three teams that lose.
Right. And that's week one, and they're all. So we have 10 regular season games, mm-hmm, an All Star break, and then playoffs and championships. So you have to make your way to the top four on your season record.
Love it.
Okay. See, I'm confused how you can lose still win. That's going to be an issue for me to get over. But we'll handle that. But there's nothing from stopping an entire community. Let's say Chicago really does love the chaos.
Yeah.
Who are the chaos?
So Chaos Lacrosse Club, that was the other thing. We built Lacrosse Club. So we tried to pull from England and the EPL and La Liga and build clubs because we weren't going to attach to cities. And then we formed the teams based on first university. So a lot of our guys have played for similar universities. You mentioned like Duke and Virginia.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Whipsnakes, who I know you guys talked about,
they're
that's all good.
Did you decide that name?
I was a part of it.
And what is that discussion? Who brought up Whip Snakes? How high was that guy when he said it? Like, bro, what if we just did Whip Snakes?
So we felt like reptiles, like having a reptile involved was important, as all leagues do.
Okay.
And a snake in particular kept coming up from like a rattler to a copperhead or whatever. There's a bunch. And so when you talk about lacrosse, and Hank probably knows this.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of shots are considered whip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, he was just saying that the other day.
So crank shots.
Yeah, crank shots.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how much you know about lacrosse.
Did iguanas ever get on the table there?
No, never on the table.
What about Komodo dragons or something like that?
No, but I did a science project on Komodo dragons when I was younger.
Go on.
That would have been a good idea.
You have the floor.
Well, I built a Komodo dragon paper mache.
What about fire salamanders?
It wasn't great.
Okay. Fire salamanders.
There should be a fire salamander team.
Yeah. We're considering doing pyros for player intros.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Give us the team names, all six.
Okay, so you have Archers, Atlas, Chrome, Chaos, Whipsnakes, Redwoods.
Okay, got a problem with the Atlas.
Okay.
Because then, like...
That's the team I play for.
Okay, well, but so dumb people like me, when you're like, the Atlases, the Atlas I, how do I pluralize
that? I think we can make it official on this show. We just call it Atli.
Atli.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect. And we'll just quote you on it.
That's Atli Lacrosse.
And I brought, it's Atlas Lacrosse.
Okay.
But the Atli.
But when you go
there, I brought you a t-shirt.
An Atli.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Atlas, Whipsnakes, Chrome, Chaos. Did you do Internet Explorer or anything like that?
Firefox would be an awesome name.
Yeah.
So Chrome was an interesting one because we were looking at the Steelers.
Okay.
And we looked at a lot of other teams. This is crazy. I would have loved to have you guys been a part of the process because we getting your brains on it.
Next one, tell us. We will help you.
We'll have expansion teams, hopefully.
Yes.
We were looking at other organizations across team sports leagues, and the Steelers kept coming up. But there's so much IP that's already stripped out of the market from college teams and universities to other pro leagues. And,
yep.
I mean, I would assume the New Zealand Breakers have some type of trademark.
Yeah,
so you can't do Breakers.
Probably. Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big
you,
time.
Yeah, you breakers. Can't do that.
No, that's ours.
Well, no, you
Whip Snakes actually sounds like a New Zealand name. The Whip Snakes.
Wait, so Whip Snakes, Chaos, Atli.
Archers. Chrome, Chaos.
Wait, Chaos is part of it.
Chaos is a team, yeah.
In
Chaos
the Premier League.
Yes, correct.
Got it.
So
okay,
yeah. So I have a chaos.
I like
shirt
the
too.
Chaos. Yeah. All right. So
does Erica.
So here
no
we go.
No one likes Atlas.
Yeah. So Erica's actually on the board of directors.
I think I'm going to negotiate a trade over to Chaos for myself.
Can you just do that yourself? Yeah. So can we own one of these teams? That's the most important question.
I think
we own a team, then we'll care.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have to be real.
Yeah.
Ownership.
The real question is, can we say that we own a team?
Yeah.
We can figure that out.
Okay.
I'd like to discuss that.
Okay. Yes.
I have no problem with lying.
You have to do it on the podcast.
Like
we have
right
to do
now.
All negotiations.
So I'd like to also put on the table having you guys call a quarter on NBC live.
Mm. Okay, yeah.
For Done. One of the games.
Sure.
I can use my immense lacrosse knowledge.
It's not ESPN.
Okay.
And the distribution for the NBC main broadcast is $114 million.
We're in.
Dollars?
Homes.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Are we
so you're in?
Yes.
Okay.
In for calling a game as long as it's got to be close. I don't want to travel.
So
I don't want to waste energy on lacrosse.
Is it a problem?
can we make the game in the Barstool offices?
Is it a problem for us having money on the game openly as we're calling?
Oh, no, not a problem.
Okay, good.
We can make that rule.
All right.
Will there be gambling on it?
Like, we're working on it.
Okay,
so
that's big.
It's huge. So part of the problem is professional lacrosse has existed for 18 years, but it hasn't really been professionalized. And that even accounts for stat keeping. So when we approach MGM and a lot of the casinos and then DraftKings and FanDuel, their odds makers are looking at all the data and they're like, well, this ground ball is miskept, this assist is miskept. So we've got to develop a year's worth of stats before we get one of those partners to come in and gamify it.
Okay.
But we will.
You're thinking about
there.
It. Yeah. All right.
Oh,
so
we're 100% in.
All right.
The
so
league doesn't win if we don't have sports
betting.
Yeah,
setting. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I want to veer a little off here from the league right now. I want to do a little bit about your career in lacrosse so that people are familiar. So you, when did you start playing lacrosse?
When I was 12.
And did you play other sports?
Yes.
Okay. What was your best second sport?
I actually sucked at lacrosse for most of the early years. I hated it and I wanted to quit. And my mom would drive me to practice. It was back when you would practice once a week and play on a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play club sports. So I played basketball and soccer and were better at those, I thought. This was pre-MLS, so I didn't really have much to look up to for MLS. And then I figured out pretty quickly I wasn't going to play in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was in ninth grade, I just started – things started clicking on the field in lacrosse, so I just dropped everything else.
Right. Okay, so you play you start getting good at ninth grade. You go to college. Now, when you are in college and you're dominating and you're winning national titles, what is, the conversation? I'm always curious about this. What is the conversation with all the guys on the team about, can we continue our career? Where does this go?
Yeah.
Or do we just go get a job like everyone else?
It's usually go get a job like everyone else.
Okay.
There was a league that it's called MLL. So we actually tried to buy the MLL with our capital partners. And so Turning Group's an investor.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know Pete. And then Erica's an advisor.
Oh, you go with Pete.
Petey.
Well, I wouldn't do that.
I don't.
Okay.
But it's a good call.
Yeah, do not hit Pete.
Can we cut that part out of the show?
So it used to be, there used to be a different league.
We tried to buy them.
Yeah.
They said,
you played
no,
in
not
it
interested.
For a long time,
yes,
right?
Yes, I played in it for 10 years. But to your question, when I graduated from Hopkins, I took a job in real estate because my rookie wage in that league was $6,000.
Wow.
I lived in my parents' house.
For
I had
how many
a Facebook
games?
Page. How many games I live in my parents'
no,
house?
No, no. How many games were you getting paid $6,000 for?
Oh, for the season.
So how many games is in a season?
Then it was 12 games in a season.
And what'd you max out at? What was your best salary playing lacrosse professionally?
The maximum salary last year was $16,000.
Jesus.
Okay. Not
okay,
a lot.
Okay, so we're still
no,
you are really building something from the ground up here.
So I was in real estate, and then I got my first endorsement back in 2009 with Under Armour and then Red Bull, and I was building a social media profile. And so I was connecting with a lacrosse audience because none of it was ever on television outside of the college Final Four,
mm-hmm.
which you guys saw.
Yep.
And then I left my job in real estate because I looked at that. It was basically 20 grand combined in sponsorship revenue. So I got a place in Baltimore, split it with three buddies, and then I just started trying to figure out pro lacrosse.
Okay. And Belichick, is he a mentor of yours or just a friend, or how does that work?
He grew up playing lacrosse in Annapolis, and he used to come to Hopkins practices, and at one point he actually guest coached, which was pretty fucking cool.
That's awesome.
So, because you'll see people come to practices in all leagues.
Yeah. How do you cheat in lacrosse? How did he try to do that?
How did he try to cheat?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can't deflate the balls in lacrosse.
No,
right?
No.
That's why I got out.
We're both Skins fans, though. Right?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, in theory. Not really a Dan Snyder fan.
Not a huge Snyder fan.
No, but I like the team.
Yeah.
Once they get good again, I'll be
I love the Gibbs era.
Yeah, Gibbs era. Did you ever go to RFK?
Of course.
See the stadium, the stands bouncing?
Dude, Art Monk, Gary Clark.
Yeah.
All those guys, Mark Rippon, Ernest Biner.
Yeah, Rippon back in 91.
Yeah.
We can talk about Skins all day back when we were good. A fun team to root for.
Yeah. So
So Belichick came down, he coached a game.
So he comes to a practice, and then we go to the locker room, and we thought he was going to be like, hey, guys, keep up the good work. And he looked at us, and he goes, you guys are fucking Division I athletes, right? And we were like, yeah. And he was like, then pass and catch the fucking ball. He was like, Jesus Christ, I've been playing this game my half of my life at least, and I haven't touched a stick in 20 years, and I can catch and throw better than you guys.
Damn.
And I remember we were like, all right, that's okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were kind of pumped because we just got a pep talk from Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And then when I graduated, we just stayed in touch. At one point, I considered trying to do what Chris Hogan did.
Yeah.
You guys know Chris Hogan?
Yeah,
played lacrosse.
That was one of my questions. Yeah, yeah. How much does a guy like Chris Hogan help lacrosse?
Oh, in a huge way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a couple years younger than me, and he basically did what I wanted to do or considered doing, and probably wouldn't have been able to do it because he stuck it out. But yeah, it's good because it shows the caliber of athlete that our sport has.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have a guy like Miles Jones who consistently gets offers to come out to OTAs from NFL teams. And Tim Semish, who played 3 years in the NFL, he tried out at our training camp last week. So there's a lot of like athletes. Patrick Kearney grew up playing lacrosse. He loves it.
Yep.
Callum Robinson.
Yeah.
Another great stud.
Hank's just reading off his phone.
Got his phone out, yeah.
All right, so we were talking about it before the show.
Was it hard to stay in elite shape as you do have a day job? Most of these guys in the league have day jobs. How often do you practice when you were with Major League Lacrosse?
Yeah, you practice once or twice a week, so you're pretty much on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, when you look at even the NFL, they've limited hitting so much that getting in shape is primarily off-season, preseason, and then you just kind of stay in shape. Or, you know, when you go into practices, you're watching film and doing walkthroughs, maybe some skeleton work. But the actual, you know, the actual hitting and team practices, I mean, the NBA just does walkthroughs. Baseball just does batting practice. So
right.
I think it's the allure of it, though. I mean, you've got to be together.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the fans to buy in.
Yeah. So, all right. So you're in the league. It's obviously not paying like huge bucks like every other league. Right. At what point were you like, you know what? I want to start my own league. Like, when did that kind of switch, the light bulb switch on?
So that conversation started in 2000, probably 16, but it was primarily around like, hey, maybe we should buy a team. Let's look at what an ownership position would look like in the MLL. And then the more we looked at that, we realized that you're pretty handcuffed in that regard for a number of reasons. So then we switched over to potentially purchasing the league. And my brother, who had spent most of his time in San Francisco as an entrepreneur, he had just coincidentally left his latest job. So we put our heads together and we're like, let's give this thing a run. But you never know you're going to do it until you actually raise the capital.
Right.
So it's all conceptual.
Right.
And conversations. And then end of 2017, it became real. And then we started having conversations with players under NDA, and it became like a pretty groundswell moment. And then the rest of the community remained quiet about it, whereas like it was like the worst kept secret in lacrosse for all of 2018. But we were all still playing in MLL at that time. And I think a lot of the ownership groups in MLL that knew when we walked away from or they walked away from a deal opportunity in 2017 that we were going to try to build one.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just like, good luck. It's really hard.
Right.
Yeah. That's a power move, though, to start your own league and immediately try to purchase your former league.
Yeah.
Like right off the bat. That's a flex.
Were they
a little bit insulted that you immediately said that like we want to take over your league?
Yeah, they were, and I understand why, because there were like a couple of players. My brother didn't play, but he's still 35 years old, and we like walk into a room with guys who have been trying to figure it out for 18 years. So we were really sensitive around that, and we had great investors that we disclosed after we announced too. So it wasn't like, hey, Mike and I got this thing figured out. Get out of the way, thanks. Right. But I'm sure that there were some of them that probably interpreted it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is a non-competitive market would make it a lot easier than even us playing this weekend and MLL having games, because they're still around.
Right.
Even though we have 160 players.
So this is crazy. So this has been basically a three-year process leading up to – I think we're going to run this next week. So where's next week's?
New York.
New York.
Red Bull Arena.
Great. So if you're listening to this right now, they're going to have the Red Bull Arena for the weekend. You can come out. You can boo Paul Rabil if he doesn't score for the chaos. Yeah. No, the Atli. Yeah, the Atli.
But I might be on chaos.
Yeah, that's true. You might get a trade
feedback,
there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it's hats off to you, man, because like that's a big risk that you took, and this is all kind of leading up to this moment where everything is coming out, and it's like this is the new league.
Yeah, it is very risky, but when you get all of the best players to come, and then you have investors that back you, just operating this thing's really fucking hard. You're running a media business, you're running a sponsorship business, you're running a ticket business, a merchandise business, and a youth business all at once. So we have now 35 full-time employees, but 50 people working in the org. And it's just like every day is a grind. So,
right.
I mean, we're launching this weekend in Boston, and we'll be in New York, like you said. But and we have, you know, great capital behind us, you know, but it's just, you know, it's a
So what's lift. What's the biggest metric that you guys are going to be watching to know? Because we've seen with, you know, whether it's the AAF or other leagues that have started recently, it's like, okay, there are certain things that are more important to them than others in terms of like long-term viability for the league. Yeah. So are you going to be paying closer attention to ticket sales, ratings, merch sales,
Twitter,
whether or not me and Big Cat tweet about it.
Should have bought us as influencers.
Right.
We will easily be sellouts for that.
Was that Hank?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hank does have the keys to the part of my take account. So
oh, Jesus
If you
Christ.
See many lacrosse tweets, it's probably definitely. Yeah. But which one of those things are more most important to you as you're like kind of taking the temperature of the league and seeing how healthy it is?
Yeah, so AAF, as you guys probably know, we're like underground building a technology business for sports betting.
Yeah.
And they got out of the gates earlier than they would have liked because of the XFL. So they wanted to beat them to the punch for off-season football. And that was risky by them. But they were building a gambling business. We're building a sports league that's generating kind of enterprise value around revenue from sponsorship and tickets. But we measure our success by media. Mm-hmm. So viewership across NBC, engagement across our social, what we're doing across digital, how we're activating through our players. So single entity is what the tour-based model is, but it also gets us as close to possible as like the UFC, which we follow them over the last 15 years. And they built it in a linear decade too before social came out. But they got behind their players and they told their stories. So it's definitely, and our investors know this. I mean, it's a 10-year build to try and get there. And I think one of our biggest obstacles, it isn't tied to revenue. It's kind of appeal for lacrosse, which has put itself in the gutter for a number of reasons over the last decade or so.
They're just stereotypes.
So? The names.
Yeah, the stereotypes.
Yeah, the Chad and Brads. Yeah. And it's
Lax pros, yeah.
Totally. It's tough to shake.
Or you could just totally turn into the skid and just rename everybody on each team and call them all Brantleys. And
make it a safe space for like white dudes.
We talked about, I guess that's like what golf does, right? I mean, they've basically embraced being in that space.
Right.
Sans Tiger Woods.
Right.
Right. Who and Brooks Koepka's interview was awesome. But
don't pander to us.
Well, kind of pandering to him.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But we did the interview.
Yeah, you did the interview.
Yeah, so don't pander to us.
But I mean,
it would have been easier, but what we're trying to do is basically unchain our athletes because they've been groomed almost like college coaches are in all sports to give this political interview after games to tell how great their opponents are, to be buttoned up and wear a polo shirt and like all this other shit that isn't pro sports.
Yeah.
So by getting them mic'd up, getting cameras in their face, encouraging them to talk shit about their opponents.
Yeah.
Like that's what the UFC's
doing. That's huge.
Done, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Show some personalities. One free idea. So we actually come in with the dumbest ideas that might actually work. If you just release like a hypothetical lineup from one of your teams and they're all like Preston Brantley IV,
that would
and
go
have
viral.
Insane names, that goes viral, you get the engagement and you're like, actually those aren't the real names, here's the real rosters.
That would have been so good.
Switch. Yeah. You can still do that.
Yeah.
We
could do that for All-Star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have it be like each team be like Duke, Virginia. Yeah. Virginia.
Johns Hopkins.
Yeah.
Maryland.
Johns Hopkins. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, what do you – I heard you guys talking about the rules episodes ago.
Yeah. So that's a big question I had for you is like what is the basic understanding of like lacrosse and how it's played that the general populace doesn't understand that you're trying to break through?
Well, it's complicated. It's a lot like hockey. In like these random two-line calls and offsides, and it's tough to track the ball or the puck during a broadcast. So we looked at innovation on the broadcast, and then we looked at basically creating this like lacrosse for dummies, essentially.
Right.
So you have two goals, you have a ball, you know as a viewer that one team's got to put the ball in the net more times.
Oh, you're
than the
really
other.
Doing the dummy thing.
Yeah.
Okay, got
well,
it.
Well, that's where we started. And then we were like, okay, why is a hole different than a cross check, different than a cross hole, different than a trip? So we were like, just call illegal body checks. Why previously, I DM'd you this, why previously do fights take place and there are ejections, but there's fights in the NHL and the NOL, like, let's allow fighting.
So there's fighting.
There's fighting.
Fuck oh, yes. You okay. should. You should have started the whole interview with that.
There's fighting.
Yeah, well,
we're lacrosse,
you guys
but with fighting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So there's fighting.
Do you
but
think people
it's
are
a little
test
bit.
You?
It's mechanical though. I'll say equipment can't come off.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. That's good. Do you think you're gonna get tested?
Probably, but we have some tough guys.
Are
on
you
our
ready
team.
To fight?
You got an enforcer.
I fought in the indoor game that I played professionally for a little bit, and it was probably like 50-50.
Okay, because
but
he's
a tough guy. I hung in there.
You got to fight like week one.
Yeah.
To get out there. Yeah. Like you know that, right?
For the
health of the league, you have to fight.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I also wrote down for a dumb idea. Have you ever had like a dick pic leaked?
I haven't.
Okay, you should do that. Great idea. It's like people be like, Paul Rabel, who? Oh,
great idea. The dick guy.
Dick guy. Uh-huh. Yeah. Lacrosse dick guy.
Every league has to have a dick guy.
Yeah, like Draymond Green kind of got through it.
Exactly. Yeah, there's several in football.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm also the co-founder, so it could go south pretty quickly.
No, that's good. That's even good. More publicity. Yeah. Yeah. Like co-founder and player.
Right.
Yeah. And people are like, player and co-founder? What the hell?
Yeah. Dick gets people talking. That's a fact.
So we have a shot clock. The college game's a mess. There's 80 seconds.
Yeah, what is that?
It's like, why even have a shot clock?
Yes.
It's wild.
I didn't even know there was. Is that a new rule?
Yes. And
how new?
That's fast.
How new
a
is
a year.
Okay, because I knew that. When I turned it on Monday, Memorial Day, I was like, what? There's a shot clock?
Yeah.
So you guys have a shot clock?
We have a shot clock. It's 52 seconds.
That's so random.
It's yeah.
But I like that.
Yeah.
That's what we went for.
Okay.
Yeah.
The old 52 clock.
Yeah. Completely, you know, non-data driven. Just throw out a shot clock number.
What counts as a shot, though? Because do you have to hit
on
something?
Net, on net or you hit the goalie. Those are probably the craziest players in the game, is these guys stand in with just a simple chest protector. And then
sweatpants.
Some.
We love that they wear sweatpants.
Yeah, some of them
That's
do.
A cool thing.
You like that?
Yeah, it's relatable.
Let's mandate it.
Right. What am I wearing right now? Yeah.
Call them bloggers.
Always have to wear sweatpants.
Yeah, call them bloggers and just have them be in sweatpants in the goal.
I've got two rules here. One, it's kind of like the puck track, but just make sure that the balls are neon yellow.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Boom. Okay, love it.
We took it right from tennis.
Okay.
Well, you actually took it from PFT.
Yeah, you took it from me. What color?
He had the idea.
By the way, what color do you think tennis balls are? Yellow
Optic
or green?
Yellow.
Okay, ooh. There you go. Finally, we solved
it. Got all the right answers.
Yeah. You did. Also, I don't know if there's
a way
to
figure out that Pantone. It was damn near impossible to find.
Yeah. Ooh, you got to get Ravel to tweet it.
Uh-huh,
the Pantone. That will be big.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that will be big.
So I don't know if it's possible to do with the live games, but I know you can with replays, so maybe look at the lives. Make it like a video game where the player that has the ball has a little circle around them as they're running, like on the ground. You know how in Madden, when the running back has the ball?
The NHL did that during the All-Star game. Do you like it?
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all I know is that when I've watched lacrosse on TV,
it's hard.
It's very tough to tell who has the ball because you can't see it when it's in the twig or whatever. What do you call it?
The berry.
They used to call it the cross, but that was
the cross?
Yeah.
What's the pouch called?
A netting. Or a pocket.
The pocket.
Yeah, actually,
pocket.
I don't know why I said netting. Every lacrosse player listening is going to be like, what the fuck is he talking
pocket
about? Netting.
Pocket.
This is like a swimsuit.
Well, when I first signed with Red Bull a while ago, they weren't in team sports much. And once we did the deal, they were like, okay, you know, give your helmet to us so we can paint it. And I was like, well, you can't because we're a team and I have to wear my team logos. And they were like, that might be a deal breaker, man. I was like, wait, what's going on? They're like, and they had to figure it out. We're just not in team sports much. But anyway,
they just thought you could give you
like I just run around. Yeah, but so we're exploring painting our goalie helmets like hockey.
Nice.
We have a 2-point arc. So,
ooh, all right. That's my other idea. Just like make goals worth more than 1 point.
Yeah.
So it's 15 yards.
Okay.
So what about kind of like a 3-point arc?
What about the dive?
Dives allowed, so
what's
guys
dives?
Can dive in the big crease and score. They go airborne.
Crease cool. dive.
What about when are you allowed to hit in lacrosse?
At any moment when the ball is either loose and you're near the ball or someone has the ball and you can hit him as a defender.
So you can just run up and just like smoke someone with the ball?
Yeah. You can't like take someone's head off.
Can you do that in college or no?
They call it tighter.
Okay.
We did this thing with John Brankus down at IMG, who's the sports science guy. And he did 4 episodes trying to decode a lot of the science behind lacrosse because a lot of people just don't know. So one of the things that we measured was amount of force per pound of square inch or per square inch of force that a defender gives when he checks a forearm. And one of these defenders we have, his name's Tucker Durkin. He cut through 4 karate wounds.
Tucker Durkin.
Four.
He went to Virginia?
He went to Johns Hopkins.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. But this guy looks like Luke Kuechly.
Okay.
Exactly like Luke Kuechly. And anyway, cut through 4 karate boards.
Holy shit.
And it was pretty intense, yeah. I'll show you guys the video, actually, of at some point what he did to – because we had a player stand in and just stand like a statue and soak one from Tucker.
And Soquan, that was badass.
Wasn't good.
Yeah.
That was a hockey term.
You have to be a psycho to volunteer for that job. Be like, come on, soak me tight. Yeah. Soak me tucker.
Soak me
good.
Yeah.
Hey. Is it going to be more of a run and gun league or up and out?
Yeah. I think that's the same thing.
So
run and gun. And so what we've done is actually took 10 yards out of the middle of the field so guys can go from one end to the other quicker. Because the field's just so big.
You get up and out.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah. Sure, Hank.
Who's got the best FOGO in the league?
Mm. What is FOGO?
The Atli, for sure.
What's FOGO?
Face off, get off. Yeah. Hank knew.
Come on, guys.
Okay.
So we have Trevor Baptiste. And he's a beast.
Okay.
And so he was a face-off guy for Team USA.
Got it.
And I may or may not have had something to do with him being on my team.
Your team. Nice. Stack your team. So give us some lacrosse lingo.
I would say you guys probably know it having listened to your show a bunch more than me, but lettuce.
Yeah.
I'll talk a little bit of technique. You have a cradle. You have a whip. You have a crankshot.
What's the difference between lettuce and flow?
They're pretty similar.
Okay. Just hairstyles. Yeah. Just like Minnesota hockey hair.
Yeah.
That's right. Well,
you can have short hair but have, flow. The lettuce, I feel like it's going to go.
Good point, Hank.
Out of the helmet.
Are you lettuce planning to Paul?
Yeah.
To you. You asked the question,
so
right?
So Paul has flow but not lettuce.
Yeah.
I used to have long hair.
Okay.
I did everything I could to try to get myself in the sport out there when I was younger. I was a sellout.
Really?
Yeah.
And like a total lacrosse, like basically?
No, I didn't go into the vernacular as much, but, I was building a YouTube channel and posting on social media, and I still post a lot, but I was posting all the time just because I sensed that it never existed before, like communication from pro to fans. And then, a lot of athletes have narcissism in them.
Yeah,
But I was indexing there hard, and then I know you guys have a small feud with Dude Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, you did small.
I did, dude. The GIF that you posted on Twitter was of me hitting that watermelon. What's that was the Dude
I'm
Perfect.
I'm deleting that. Right now.
No, don't delete it.
No, please delete it. I'm deleting.
You like the Dude Perfect guys?
I did.
Who's this your favorite?
I did an edit with them.
This interview's over.
Who's your favorite?
But
Cody,
it got me.
Toby.
Big hat. I was leading into it because I had 27 million views on that.
Yeah,
and that's still the largest video. So, but this is now the largest show. Every time we do something new, it seems like after this league, it's like the sport had never had a chance to even be on PMT.
No, uh-huh. Definitely.
Are you guys
so
petty?
Don't delete that tweet.
Okay,
but I love Bro Sweet. And
thank you.
Thank you.
How many Jeeps have you owned?
Jeeps?
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Is that about standard? You get one
it's
of those.
I mean, it's comfortable, it's spacious, and it's cheap. I was making $6,000.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess
I've got a fucked up back. I can't sit in a car.
Is that true?
Yeah.
What did you do?
L4, L5, L5S1.
Fuck. Yeah. That sucks, man. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like what I did, but not at all.
Obviously, you need to capture a new audience, but there's already a pretty big audience of people that have played lacrosse, that have watched lacrosse, that are already fans of the sport. But where you draw that line in terms of pandering to a brand new audience can sometimes alienate people that already know about the sport. They're like, I know what a goal is.
Yeah.
You don't have to explain it to me. Like, how have you decided where to put that line?
Yeah, we're a little bit split there, so we're going to figure it out in week one because we have Brendan Burke, who does the Islanders games. He's our play-by-play. Paul Burmeister does the Olympics for NBC, and then Ryan Boyle is like our Tony Romo. He's like all-time lacrosse player.
Never won a championship?
He won. Oh. Good call.
Yeah.
Just so gotta not a Tony Romo
not
in that
Tony
regard.
Romo.
Yeah.
But they'll probably do some type of education during the broadcast, but a lot of our fans do get pissed about that.
Yeah.
Because the college commentators do that a little bit during the Final Four, and I always see tweets going out, be like, hey, we know what just took place. We know that the ball went out of bounds and the other team gets it.
Right.
There's also like a little bit of fun watching a new sport and figuring out some of the stuff as you're watching, like when you have that aha moment, oh, this is why this guy has the ball right now, or this is why there's a face-off, that sort of thing. If you figure out while you're watching it, obviously you need to educate people a little bit, about some things through my experience as a rugby fan. So when it's the World Cup on
TV,
hard
for me to understand,
or yeah, or if it's, you know, the college rugby championship or whatever it is that is on TV for a wide audience. What I don't like is when they say, "Oh, this is like a jump ball in basketball."
Yeah.
You know, when they relate it too much to another sport that they assume that I already
know. It just sounds thirsty.
It does sound a little bit thirsty. So if you do it too much.
Yeah. I think it's important to do that a little bit, because you do have to, like, our knowledge base is based on, you know, the major four sports. Yeah. So when people do say little things like that, it does help understand it a little, like offsides and, you know, the you just explaining how you can hit at any time.
Right.
Like, I didn't know that.
But scrap the John Brankus piece.
Scrap that
money down the drain.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I have one last question. It's a SeatGeek question. Go to a Premier Lacrosse League tournament or
game. Yeah.
Not a tournament, game on one of the given weekends. New York is the one coming up this weekend as it airs. Put in promo code TAKE, you get $10 off your SeatGeek purchase. So my last question is, how much cash do you have on you right now?
Good question.
Probably $17.
That's it?
That's it.
What about Brett? How much cash does he have on him? Zero?
None.
Well,
yeah, is that everything on credit?
I was gonna offer a tweet from PFT and myself on the first weekend for the right amount of cash. 17, not the right amount of cash.
I'll go to the ATM.
No,
I'll like
okay.
a tweet.
Yeah. I'll like a tweet for $5.
Mm-hmm.
You'll like a tweet for $5?
Like, yeah.
Boom. What if I
just as good as a retweet.
Mm-hmm. The new algorithm.
What if we're going to try to line you guys up to call a quarter? You
okay.
guys really want to do that?
Yes,
that'd be awesome.
Yes,
yeah, that'll be like
yes.
a lot of fun.
Yes, people will hate us.
You know who's really going to dislike it?
Who?
ESPN.
Oh yeah, but everyone
you'll be on NBC.
No, but yeah, everyone's going to hate us. Everyone.
I don't
know
think
about
so.
That.
It doesn't seem like people hate
because we don't know the rules though. I'm saying like hardcore lacrosse,
which is great.
Yeah. That will be the part. Like, yeah. I think a lot of people will tune in and like it, but I think there will be some hardcore lacrosse fans that will be like, fuck these guys, because we will probably make fun of lacrosse.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Maybe.
For sure.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll, a little.
I was walking in here, and like, Erica was like, you know, the sport of the future thing is kind of tongue-in-cheek, and I'm like, yeah,
right.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Hank,
she's like,
Hank left. Yeah. He literally is so bored with this interview, he walked out. The biggest lacrosse fan. He literally left 5 minutes ago. He's just not here. Way to go, Hank. I'm excited. I mean, credit to you, man. Like, it's obviously a little tongue-in-cheek, but seriously, credit to you, because
appreciate
this is a hell of a risk, and putting it all in here. And I'm all in for more sports. I'm a big believer in more sports is always better.
And we think that even with this model that we built, which is different and it's tour-based and it's not an established sport or a core sport like the NFL or the NBA, but we think this is a launching pad to then going a city-based model. So it's not like we're like, hey, fuck that, cities don't matter. They do in a major way. But if you don't have the number of participants and viewers already baked in and you don't have the owners – so this tour-based model allowed us to get Gillette, Red Bull Arena, and not be stuck to these like local small venues.
It's smart because AAF came out and was like, I don't care about the fucking San Antonio.
Right.
Or, you
it's
know.
Just hard.
Right.
Like,
right.
You just think like if you come into New York, all of a sudden people are going to be supporting you.
Right.
It just that's like generational.
Yeah.
So is this league more player-friendly, you would say?
Yeah. Our players have equity.
I like that.
Whoa.
Yep.
I like that a lot.
Okay.
We gave our players increased wages, health care as well, and then
damn.
Equity, yeah.
Look at you. Great
very,
boss.
Very cool.
Appreciate
great
that.
Boss, and we will tune in at some point. We're going to call a game. It's a quarter.
Yes, 100%.
Paul Rabel, everyone tune in. NBC Sports Premier Lacrosse League coming to your TV. Watch, interact, tweet, and do everything, and listen for us.
That interview with Paul Rabel was brought to you by ZipRecruiter. What if you had your own personal recruiter to help you find a better job? Now, ZipRecruiter's technology can do that for you. Just download the ZipRecruiter job search app, let it know what kind of jobs you're interested in, and its technology starts doing the work. The ZipRecruiter app finds jobs you'll like, and it puts your profile in front of employers who may be looking for someone like you. If an employer likes your profile, ZipRecruiter lets you know. So if you're interested in the job, you can go ahead and apply. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated job search app. And based on a third-party survey, 7 out of 10 people who found a new job on ZipRecruiter increased their salaries. So that's more money in your pocket. These were the results of a 2017 U.S. survey of over 500 ZipRecruiter users who got hired for a job that they found on ZipRecruiter. So my listeners should download the free ZipRecruiter job search app today and let the power of technology work for you. Don't wait.
The sooner you download the free ZipRecruiter job search app, the sooner it can help you find a better job. So download that ZipRecruiter app right now. Now, we've got some special selections from our time spent guest hosting Kentucky Sports Radio today, featuring some of the best callers in the state of Kentucky.
And now for something completely different.
We were talking about ghosts. We were taking calls. We want to talk to the people of Kentucky, the great people of Kentucky. We love this day every year. Shannon, do we have more calls?
We do. Let's go to Dee Dee.
Hey, Dee Dee.
Edie.
Oh, sorry, Edie.
Edie.
That's all right.
Knows about
what's up,
first,
Edie?
I got a comment for you. The Calipari ladies, I give it up to them. But now, you haven't heard redneck sassy before, so you need to come to the eastern part of the state to hear that.
Wait, that's second redneck sassy, is,
yeah.
Huh?
Redneck sassy?
Hell yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, you can say okay. Hell. H-E-double hockey hell. Sticks. Yeah, yeah.
Damn. Hell.
Okay. Second, I got a ghost story for you.
Okay.
My family has owned this hauler for years and years, and there is a cemetery at the beginning. When they put the new road in, there's a major battlefield just like a mile up the road. They used it part of that hill during the Civil War. There are several unmarked graves and even Indian burial graves up there, and when they put the new road in, they moved the cemetery, but not all of the graves correctly and the soldiers. Mm-hmm. So it's, we think for years we've seen soldiers from time to time, and different weird things have happened.
Yeah.
So when they went to put a plot up on back from the graveyard, about a quarter mile maybe, to make a house seat. Well, it was my grandfather. About a few months later, he got killed in a gunfight.
Whoa.
So it went to my uncle. 5 years later, he was in a gunfight and had a car wreck, and he got killed. So then it went to his boys. Well, they turned out having the worst luck ever. My one cousin caught his wife cheating on him. It was awful. So now, then my mom bought it. Well, she had a booming business, and probably like 8-10 years later, it burned to the ground.
Whoa.
So everyone that's lived up there has, and there's a lady in a white dress that's also been seen on the house seat. And wow. Strange things do happen in the house, like chairs moving every so often, or, you know, just unexplained noises and things happening.
All right, so, I believe you when you say all this stuff, especially when you toss in the Indian burial ground. That's a real wild card one, because, I mean, all you have to do, just look at FedEx Field and the Redskins' history of quarterbacks. There's a lot of bad, grisly injuries that can happen on a place like that. Now, when it comes to this specific location, if you own property that a graveyard is on, do you actually own the dead bodies too? Is that like a toss, like we're going to throw these in?
I really don't know the answer to that, but I know that there have been people that have passed away. My grandma has rental properties too at the mouth of the holler. And when there have been people that pass away that don't have family or nothing, she'll let them be buried up there, you know, just out of respect for them. And, the county or whatever usually pays for it or does it. And then, but a lot of the graves, we've had to run a few people off, treasure hunters, metal detectors.
Yep.
And we try to respect the graveyard. You know, we don't want anybody disturbing it. We have found, shells from the Civil War in trees and stuff that we've collected over the years.
Dang.
But, yeah, we try to, keep, trespassers off of it, except for people that have family up there, because we want it respected. But my understanding is when they put that new road in, they did not respect the Civil War soldiers that were buried up there. They're supposedly buried in all of them on top of each other in one spot.
Dang. Edie, I have a couple questions for you, quick questions. One, what is a holler?
A holler, a lot of people call it a hollow, but around here it's a holler. Mm-hmm. It is basically a valley in between two, most people call it mountains that ain't around from around here, but they're actually hills because they aren't tall enough to be mountains.
Got it.
And there's usually a creek in it somewhere.
A creek.
Okay, so number two, who owns the holler now?
My granny. And my mom and my uncle.
And how's she doing?
And they, I guess.
Oh, wait, whoa.
You own it?
So we're talking to you right now.
I have a piece of property on it, but I live down in the valley. I wouldn't move up to my mama's house for nothing.
So,
and it's a huge house.
So who right now do you think might be cursed?
My mom, because not about 6-8 years or something like that after getting her house built, and which she had financial problems with the house being built, but once they got it built, moved in there, it wasn't a few years later, and their business burned to the ground.
And then,
you know?
Yeah.
And my house also burnt like 2 years before that.
Sheesh. Okay. All right. So my last question was, you mentioned the gunfights. Is that like a duel? Are we talking about a duel? What happened with the gunfights?
Okay, well, my family fought for years with another local family that I won't mention.
Nice. Yes.
But we are related to Grigson, but I'll just throw that in there.
Okay.
But not on the good side either, my side, the outlaw side.
Okay.
But my great-grandfather was a sheriff here once. But anyway, so the families, they fought for years. I can remember bits and pieces of it, having to hide at times in the house when the other family called and said they were going to shoot our house up. And so my grandfather and this other man were at an Eagles club because he was a veteran, and I think the other gentleman was too. And they pulled out their guns, and the guy shot my grandfather, and my grandfather shot and killed him.
Whoa. So this is like, Hatfield McCoy. You have like a whole thing going with these people. Do you see, when you see one of the family members, does it fade on sight?
No, not now. That's been, you know, I guess in the 80s,
yeah.
You know, early 80s is when all this was going on. It started because a bunch of people caught my uncle out by himself, like 5 or 6 guys, and they beat him up. So when you beat one of us up or hurt one of us, the whole family gets involved.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, what's the way to stop that?
Yeah. I mean, how did it end?
Do you get together? Was there like a council? Do you parlay like pirates?
No. They would go to each other's house. They'd fight, argue, beat each other, and it just kept getting worse and worse. You know, my cousin that got killed with my uncle, he actually spent time in LaGrange for killing the man's son.
Wow.
Over shooting the man's son over them catching my uncle out by himself.
So it's basically like a little mini war that's been going on
yeah.
in the hills of Kentucky. So when you do you keep law enforcement out of this? Is this one of the situations where the local sheriff's just like,
well,
you know what?
She's related to the local sheriff.
Yeah, but is this one of those things where law enforcement's like, hey, they're going to fight, and it's best to just stay out of it.
No, they used to when I was younger, but now, like I said, my grandpa's gone, my uncle's gone, you know, so they've calmed down over the years and gotten older. So, you know, but back in the day, they didn't touch it. They didn't touch us. My great aunt, which is well known around here, she shot two men like an inch from their, you know what, and they wouldn't come over there. I mean, my grandfather was the only one that could do anything with her, and I'm talking like Marilyn Monroe looking beautiful woman who wore Daisy Dukes and a tank top, like one of them little tiny yeah. bikini tops, you know, with yeah. a big 45 or 38 pistol in her pants. And she blocked everybody coming up down the holler, and you had to stop. And if she didn't like you, she would either tell you to get lost or she'd shoot you.
Shoot you in the pee-pee.
I would much rather have the tell me to get lost.
Yeah. So how many pee-pees did she shoot?
Huh?
How many wee-wees did she shoot? Ding-dongs.
She was pretty good shoot. She missed them within a couple inches just so nice. They'd know, you know.
Oh.
They And they walked around with a limp. The one man did walk around with a limp for the rest of his life.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, if it was me, it's a pretty
the whole end of the hauler, there's two sides, and the whole end was nothing but, you know, red and blue lights. They was all afraid to talk to her. Finally, the sheriff came, and he said, "Now, where'd you shoot him at this time, Nomi?" She said, "Roll him over and pull down his pants, and you'll find out." Sure enough, they rolled him over, and there it was.
The hoe end of the holler? What is that?
The whole end.
Whole end or hoe end?
That's the one Rick Pitino
The whole end, the entire end.
Oh, the entire like the, end. The got both, the holler. Yeah.
Both roads. That this holler is so big it has two sides to it, and the creek separates the sides.
Edie, have you ever shot anybody?
I should probably not answer that, boys.
Okay, don't. Do not.
No, I have never shot anybody, but I've been taught to shoot since I was about 6-7 years old.
Okay. Well, Edie, thank you for the call. That was a fantastic story. Appreciate it. That made our day. Yeah, yeah. That was awesome.
All right, let's go to John Short.
John Short.
John S.
What's up, John S?
Rather much, y'all great Americans.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Agreed.
75 years ago today.
John Haney and Billy Cunningham. That's where I come from.
Say that again. Sorry.
I come there from Big Time Sean Haney. He was off in 3-6. I also come there from Billy Cunningham.
Okay.
Agreed.
Don't understand what you're saying, but let's keep going.
He's a big fan of Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity. Yeah. Got it. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Well, I would like to retract my agreed.
Yeah. Wow, PFT.
He is P-left-T.
Yes, now a MAGA bro.
Somebody has to be the lib on the show now that Matt Jones has taken his French vacation of 5 weeks off a year.
Someone has to be a bleeding heart liberal. So what do you got, John Short?
Okay, I say what's more important between millionaires and winning championships. It's more important than being a millionaire. All the players are for one and done. We don't need one and done. Everybody needs to come back and play 4 years like it used to be.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so are you saying, going with that line of reasoning, would you say that Coach Cal, now we're talking about John Cal here, is he on the hot seat?
No, indeedy. That's right.
But he hasn't won any NBA rings. John Cal has not won any NBA rings.
I know. And I know he has. And also, I want to give a shout-out, too. I want to give a shout-out to somebody. Give a shout-out to Shelby.
All right, Shelby.
Where's Shelby? Shout-out. Where's Shelby at?
I don't know.
Oh, shit. Did we lose? I should have sworn
there.
Did we lose Shelby?
If anybody out there has seen Shelby, we need to track him down.
Is it a dog or a human?
No. It's a human being, yeah.
Is it a car?
No,
you talking about
that
old school?
Is it off of Shelby?
Okay.
No, it's just wanted to give a shout out to you. That's all.
All right. Well, what does Shelby look like? Oh, like, give us a descriptor so we can try to find Shelby because we don't know where he is. Right. A she or he?
It's a she.
Okay,
Shelby. If you're listening to this right now, please call in. There are a bunch of people out there.
John Short.
That are worried sick about you. No, call into the show.
Yeah, call into the show.
We'll get Shelby on the show and just make sure that she's doing okay. Tell her John Schwartz is giving her a shout-out because there's nothing worse than giving a shout-out and that person never finding out that they got shouted out.
Yeah.
Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
Okay, so we're back segments, and the Bruins have just scored. They made it a 2-1 game. That penalty was called, Hank. But obviously they scored right away.
Oh, let's go. Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that an N1 or no?
Bruins goal, his fourth of the postseason, number 74, Jake DeBrusk. DeBrusk goal at 13:32.
Okay, thanks, Jake. That's PMT Sportsman's Jake Marsh, our in-game arena announcer. Fantastic job. No, it's not an N1, Hank, but they did call it. I know you saw that.
There should be an N1 in football and in hockey.
Well, whenever there's a penalty like that, the goalie comes out so they can play with an odd man. while the ref has his hand up.
Mike Greenberg's dumb rule for right now off the top of my head.
Yeah.
If a wide receiver catches a touchdown on a pass interference, the extra point should be worth two.
Yeah, I like that a lot. All right, so let's get to some segments. This is going to be an insane end of the game, and you're going to get to watch it with us. So you're going to get to relive it. If you're a Blues fan, you're going to love this if they win. If you're a Bruins fan, you're going to hate this if they lose. But it's going to be an electric end to the game here.
It goes to overtime. It's going to be very mysterious.
It's going to be very mysterious. You'll have to tune into Monday's show to find out who won this game and Game 6. Segments, thoughts and prayers, Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, so he got $500,000 worth of jewelry stolen by two of his girlfriends. So they teamed up together, kind of an Ocean's 2 type deal.
That's bound to happen.
They waited till he left, and they just ransacked his house, and he knows exactly who it was, I guess. But they got away. They haven't been caught yet.
Right. So, and I feel like when you have, if you have two girlfriends, or if you're a woman and you have two boyfriends, eventually they're going to team up and rob you of all your jewelry.
Well, either that or they're going to go after each other. So they kind of, I like to think it happened like you see in a lot of movies where they got real mad at each other and started swinging.
And they're like,
And then they accidentally knocked over a framed picture of Le'Veon.
Yeah.
And they both looked at each other and they're like, we shouldn't be fighting. Yeah. We're on the same team.
Or they knocked over a framed picture of Le'Veon and it split open and it was just like cash underneath, hid behind the frame.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Exactly.
Let's take it all.
You need to take all this
stuff.
I actually have a theory that if you own $500,000 worth of any product, people should be allowed to steal it if they can get their hands on it.
What if you own $500,000 worth of cash?
No, that's different.
Okay. She said any product.
But any singular product.
Okay.
You should be, like, for example,
$500,000.
Dwight Howard snakes.
$500,000 worth of cancer medication.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Nobody needs that much.
That's fucked up.
It's Martin Shkreli.
That's fucked up.
So, like, with Russell
Wilson.
That's
one pill he's
got. You could steal Air Monarchs from Russell Wilson.
All $500,000.
$500,000 worth. Or penicillin from Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. He's going to need that. Yeah. All right, so we have a Respect the Biz, and that's about the Stanley Cup Finals. Zdeno Chara has a broken jaw. He can't speak, and he still met with the press and answered questions by writing down his answers.
Class act.
That's a way to go. That might be my sports...
sports person of the year?
Sports... respecter of journalism of the year. Sports player who respects journalism the most of the year.
You win one free ticket to go see Bruce Springsteen along with Pierre Maguire.
Yeah, and a six-pack of Allagash White.
Yep, congratulations, Zidane.
Lukewarm.
No, that's nice. It's like that book, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, basically, what he did, where you just blink out your answers in Morse code. That's what a real hockey guy would do.
It was great. It was great that he did that. I had We Read a Headline. This one is Mickelson aces Jim Nance's backyard hole. That was a headline from the Golf Digest.
That's a good headline.
That's a pretty good headline.
Mickelson aces Jim Nance's backyard hole. Yeah.
Those two would have some sloppy sex.
That is a headline.
Phil Mickelson has sloppy sex.
Phil Mickelson strikes me as a guy that spits directly onto his own dick a lot during sex.
He's like, look at this, baby.
Just like takes it out and like not on his hand, just like
a nice drooly one.
Just pulls it out and just goes.
This is gonna be
like lets it go halfway down and sucks it back up.
Yeah, the
and then...
Skittle spit. He does the Skittle spit. Yeah. He's just like, look at this.
Oh,
what is it? What was that movie? The Adam Sandler Big Daddy.
Yeah, he's like, I got two ribs removed so I can titty fuck myself.
Check this, babe. Spits all over his dick.
You know
this
what
is like a porn.
You know what I'm gonna do? I feel like I should. It's been a pet passion project of mine that I've had on the back burner for a while that I've not got around to doing. I need to write just fan fiction, just like steamy, erotic fan fiction, just about all sorts of athletes trying to have sex.
No, you don't.
I thought you were going to say skip to Stephen A.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
I did write that.
You don't have to do that.
No, I think it'd be funny.
I don't know if you have to do that.
Like, you tell me that you would
maybe
not
you
read
jerk off.
You would not read a novella about Phil Mickelson having sex with Venus Williams.
Yeah, I think we just the Phil Mickelson spitting on his dick jokes, I think we just reached the capacity.
Okay, not Phil Mickelson then.
Aaron Hernandez.
I'm going to say Colin Montgomery having sex with Mia Hamm.
Andy Reid having sex with
his wife.
A ham.
Just his wife.
No, a ham.
Just fucking a
just
ham.
Just a big ham. Just a nice juicy ham.
Named Mia Ham.
Yes, exactly. Like, he names it.
Yeah,
Mia.
He names it Mia Ham.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I could see where that.
Okay,
would work.
That'll come out next month.
Do we have any other segments?
We're gonna do something with Paul Pierce. PR 101.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think we just need to have a poop talk about Paul Pierce.
I actually don't really buy it.
I don't buy it either. I think he admitted as much that he was just using it kind of to get a headline as a joke. And listen, Paul, as someone who has hanked himself mm-hmm. in the last 8 months,
yeah.
my culture is not your costume.
Well, I was going to say, I don't want to take too much credit, but I feel like I've been campaigning for this for like 5-6 years now, that we need to destigmatize pooping your pants. And ever since I got caught pooping my pants at a Chicago dog park and then a stoolie asked me for a picture. Mm-hmm. So I think Paul Pierce has just waited till it's been like the tide has turned on it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, now it's safe to say this. So he's doing it. He's kind of a coward, and he's not only a coward, but he's doing it. And I don't think he actually had to poop his pants. I think he just thought he was really, really injured. And yeah. he knows that if he says this now, people will be like, that's funny, dude. It's cool now.
He's using pooping pants as a cover for it. It's right. Like me, I have a broken rib. If I say that it feels like I have stabbing pains in my ribs, that's disrespectful to Paul Pierce, who actually had to deal with it.
That was close to a goal.
Filthy.
Yeah, so I just don't buy it. I mean, I've been out on the front lines for a very long time talking about how it's not a big deal. And I feel like he's Johnny come lately. I don't appreciate
now
that.
People
laughed at me when I said that I
he should
did
have said it in
regularly.
Real time if you wanted the credit.
Agreed.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, I did, you know.
Oh,
I've been doing this. There's 2 minutes left. So I think we'll just watch the last 2 minutes, and then we'll get to License to Jill. Cut out all the times that we don't talk. I don't know. This is terrible radio. Okay, that's it. Looks like the game's over.
Bruins fans are fighting each other in the stands.
Holy shit, that was
sweaters are getting tugged off left and right.
Insane ending of the game.
Hate to see a game like this tear the city of Boston apart.
Insane.
Final score, Blues 2, Bruins 1. Fans, we hope to see you back at TD Garden on Wednesday, June 12th for a potential Game 7. Please, drive home safely.
Okay, that was in-game arena announcer Jake Marsh, PMT Sports Biz. So now the cup is in the building for the Blues. That's
how about
insane.
That?
Insane.
Never, the cup has never been to St. Louis.
The cup is in the building for the Blues on Sunday night. So we'll be here. We'll do it after the that game in case that the Blues win the Stanley Cup final. Let's finish up the show with our 69-year young. You like how I did that?
That was good.
You got to say that way.
69.
Oh, that fucking kid is so funny.
A spring chicken.
There was a Bruins fan with just holding the most still and stoic middle finger as all the Blues walked off the bench. That was fucking awesome. That kid's about to go so viral. All right, here she is, Chili Football. Okay, we're going to wrap up our Friday show introducing our newest intern. We told you about Jake Marsh on Wednesday. We also have Jack, who's behind the scenes. And to finish the big three, we have Jill, 69-year-old Jill.
Jilly Football.
You probably remember her from her resume. She said that she's stronger than she looks. She's great at laughing at jokes. She is
not easily offended.
Not easily offended. Well-versed in New York City and recovering from a shoulder injury. But doing really well in physical therapy. We talked to your doctor. They said you were doing great.
Good to hear.
Okay, so Jilly Football is here. We're going to do a couple things every Friday. We're going to do License to Jill, where she gets questions from readers, from listeners.
From millennials.
But we're also going to do a little, I'm not mad, but I'm disappointed, recap of the week. So, Jill, you listen to Monday and Wednesday's show. Sometimes we get a little out of hand. Sometimes we make jokes that probably aren't great. And as our senior correspondent, that's not because of your age. That's because you have a great resume. Where did we go wrong this week?
I have to tell you that I was disappointed.
Not mad.
So much worse.
Not mad.
No, not mad. Okay. Not angry. But I was disappointed that I had nothing to be disappointed in.
You're too nice.
No, I swear. Except, perhaps, the only thing.
Yep. Uh-huh.
The dump lady.
Oh, yeah. The dump lady on
Monday.
That
went on too long.
Now, to be fair, this was a real question. This was a real life scenario that this lady was going through. And it's our job as podcasters to help people through their issues sometimes.
Yeah.
And so she really wanted to know if she should take a shit in front of her boyfriend.
Okay.
It just went on too long?
It went on too long. Yeah. I mean, you know, enough is enough.
We get it.
She's stupid anyway.
There was a lot to unpack.
Big dump. We get it.
She just should have taken the crap, right?
Okay.
No, she should have sent him packing.
Yeah, that's true. So, all right, that's good. That's good feedback because you know what? Like, that's we thought it was the right amount, but you're right. It probably went. The dump lady probably went on a little too long.
Sometimes we get carried away with things, and so it's always good to have like an outside set of eyes, somebody new that doesn't know how stupid we are sometimes to tell us like. We need an invisible fence, like we're dogs that you just let out in an open pasture, but we need somebody to zap us back to reality sometimes.
She's talking, Jilly Football's talking about Monday Reading, the woman who said that her boyfriend wanted her to take a shit in front of him to make sure that she wasn't cheating on him. Mm-hmm. The dump lady.
The dump lady.
Because the shit that the lady took was too big, and the guy didn't believe that it could come from his girlfriend.
Right.
Right, that one?
See, we're doing it too much right now. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
All right. Okay.
But can I say something I liked?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I loved the karaoke.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
I thought that was amazing.
Yes. Thank you.
You guys have good voices.
Thank you.
Well, Manny Pacquiao does.
Yeah.
Well, he does.
Voice of an angel.
He really got into it. I love that. Yes. I could listen to it for longer.
The trick was when we started singing, Big Cat and I, we sang very poorly to get started with. And then Manny was like, no, I got this. And he kind of like pushed us away. And he's like, I want to take it.
He's like, hold the, you guys sit in the back. I'm going to take the wheel. All right. So Jilly Football. We're going to do License to Jill. We have questions. She's getting her phone up. What font do you use?
I need
you need an adult. Let's say she lost the password.
I thought that was your password.
That was.
It was?
But that's not my phone.
Wait. Why do you have two phones in front of you?
Because I'm very important.
She's got a burner.
Okay, so which one are you going to read?
I'm going to read
this
one. You
have a beautiful family, by the way.
I do.
Yeah.
But this one is my darling Jake's phone.
Okay. Yeah, Jake Marsh.
Jake, we need unlock it.
Okay, here we go.
There you go. Okay, right. So these are questions that are submitted by you, Pardon My Take, award-winning listeners.
Okay.
Okay, my first question is, Jill, what were you doing in your life when Big Cat and PFT were born?
1985.
January 30th and 31st.
January 30th?
I'm 30th. You can probably tell by maturity.
I'm 31st. You can probably tell because I have much more youthful skin.
Yes. So we were born a day apart. It's crazy.
A nicer body.
Crazy. So what were you doing?
I was living in California.
Ooh.
Had two kids and one on the way.
Smoking weed?
I had, of course. All the way through my pregnancies. All of them.
Talking to the mic, Jill.
Drank.
Yeah.
You know, I did it all.
Okay. That's honesty.
Stunted my growth, but they were okay.
What part of California? Because I remember when you talked to us a couple days ago, you said that you were a flower child.
I was, but I was living in Nevada then, and the summer of 67.
Okay.
We drove up to San Francisco, did the whole Haight-Ashbury.
Wow.
Expand your mind a little bit?
Shit. Expanded my mind, but I was...
How many...
I was a naive little... Girl.
How many Grateful Dead concerts have you been to?
None.
What?
Zero.
Yeah, I think you're a narc.
Zero. No, at the time, you know, you live in Nevada, you're grow up there, and you're closer to Southern California, so what are you interested in? The Beach Boys.
Ooh.
The surfing. The surf sound.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Were you a surfer?
I have surfed.
Yeah.
But I'm not a surfer.
Right. Okay. Make sure this doesn't lock.
I know.
Okay, next one.
And does... Jilly Football mail birthday cards to family members. Of course I do.
The fuck was that question?
Of course I do.
Yeah. Duh.
I've got a lot of family, and it's always nice to get a card.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a calendar that's set up so that you know when you have to send the letters?
Do you, Big Cat? Why was that such
a... It was a ridiculous question because of course she does. Like, of course she does.
Well, but now, you know,
there's a certain generation that sends cards. Yeah,
and now you can Facebook.
But that's not the same.
It's not the same.
More personal touch.
Yeah,
and no, I don't have a calendar.
Okay, so you just remember it.
Sometimes I'm late.
Okay,
but I do.
All five of your kids' birthdays go.
September 28th, April 8th, April 28th, May 2nd, May 9th.
Oh, so you were babies. Really getting it down.
Very busy in September.
Very busy in the late summer.
Got it, Jill. Got
really
it.
Really celebrating Labor Day weekend.
Indian Woo-hoo. Summer. Native you know American what I'm summer.
Labor Day.
Yeah. Okay. Next one.
Okay. Two questions. First, what are your favorite sports teams? So the AWLs can be prepared for soggy sorrows.
Yeah. So if,
professional yeah. or college?
Both.
Professional football teams would have to be the 49ers.
Okay.
And the Seahawks.
Oh, you like both of them.
That doesn't really work. So that doesn't really work.
They're big
but
rivals.
I still like it. I still like them.
Okay. We're going to need you to pick one of the two, though, to be your
That
team.
Must have been a tough
to be
NFC.
My team?
Yeah.
Have to be the 49ers.
Okay, you're 49ers.
I was going to say, that's a tough
I
NFC
go back
championship
to Joe Montana.
Game in 2014.
I love Joe Montana. So.
Okay. All right.
And college?
Yeah.
Go Blue.
Michigan.
Okay. Good. All right. We don't have any Big Ten representation.
Yeah. All right. That's going to be problematic. What other teams do you root for? Any other basketball teams? Or?
Oh, basketball team?
Yeah.
College? Carolina. Oh. Carolina Blue.
Okay. Okay. We got a little rivalry with Woo! Hank over there.
Is,
I like
what,
that.
What the hell so, is going on
so,
right now?
So, Jill, Hank is a big Duke fan.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We're no longer friends.
Yes.
Oh.
That's going to be that is going to be fun. When we have the live watch for Duke UNC next year.
Oh, I've been trying to get my son tickets to a Duke Carolina game for years.
Got you. I got you.
Okay.
I got you.
We'll figure it out later.
SeatGeek. All right. And then any baseball, basketball, NBA, you don't care? Baseball, you don't care?
Oh, I love the Mets.
Oh, okay. There we go. Good.
I really
we got stuff. Every. We need like something giving, in Texas, yeah. maybe in Florida, and you got
no
the whole,
Texas.
Okay,
I don't like Texas teams. Florida. Well, I used to like the Marlins. I used to go to the. I used to have season tickets to the Panthers in Florida.
The hockey okay. team.
Hockey team.
Jesus
oh,
Christ,
it was fun.
Jill! You're all over the place.
Jill,
I love this.
Jill's lived in every corner of the country.
Yeah. Damn. Okay. All right. That's great. So when any of those teams lose, we're gonna have to douse you in water, and you're gonna have to come on the show.
All right.
49ers probably Perfect. Won't lose too many games, though. You'll
yeah,
be okay.
You'll be fine. Well, and if they lose, they probably lose to the Seahawks, so we're really okay.
Mm-hmm. You know what? We'll give you both those teams.
Yeah, you get both. All right, next one.
All right. Sup, Jilly Football. Saw your Twitter cover photo is an x-ray of your shoulder and have a question. Are you hurt or injured? Thoughts and prayers. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. I got hurt. I got injured. I
Whoa.
Fell.
No, there's a difference.
It's one or the
there's
other.
Difference. So being
Are you hurt,
hurt, you can
oh,
play
well,
through it.
No, I was injured.
Okay.
I truly was injured.
Yeah.
Now, you said the other day that somebody pushed you over, but
that was a white lie.
Yeah, you just fell?
That's
I
good.
I just fell, and I wasn't drinking.
Oh.
Okay.
Do you have Life Alert? Is that offensive to say?
I don't have Life Alert, but okay. I probably should.
Okay, there we go. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll
but
get
I was
you
outside just walking and
Boom.
Tripped on the sidewalk. And I had thumb surgery, so I didn't want to put my hand down and hurt my hand, so I fell on my shoulder.
Took the brunt of the force in the shoulder. Okay.
Yeah.
But you are crushing your physical therapy.
I am.
Yeah. You're killing
it. I almost do the homework every day.
Did you walk around with a wrist guard for a long time?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
I
that's a look that... older women rock.
Like a prophylactic.
Yeah, just guard, always like, got the wrist guard.
Like you're going like rollerblading.
Either rollerblade yeah. or they might have, you know, have carpal tunnel. I don't know.
You know what? Hank is doing boulders for shoulders this summer, so maybe you and him could get on the same workout.
Yeah,
regimen.
You guys should do some shoulder
Ooh,
workouts. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Okay, next question.
Zup, Jilly. Does AARP work?
Oh.
Yes and no.
Ooh.
It gets you discounts.
Okay.
Oh, how does
Oh,
how
I'm
does
sorry.
AARP
how
work?
Does AARP work? Well, you sign up when you're 50 because that's when they consider old.
Yep.
And you just go from there and you get little magazines and you get a card and you show it. And
So you're checking into a hotel and you just flash the card and they're like, here's 20% off?
Correct.
That's yeah. all. We got to get an AARP.
Yes, yes. What else do you get out of it? What's the best discount you got on the AARP?
Probably hotel.
Nice.
Okay, so when we book our hotels, yes. we should bring you along.
You
so
you pay
can
for
use,
yourself.
Yeah, use your card.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, next.
Okay. Oh,
Ooh,
this one's long.
Yeah, this one's long.
Okay.
This is the last one.
Okay. Sup, Jill, especially Jilly Football. You seem like you have maternal instincts, so I'll get right to the point. I live with my girlfriend, and my little sister, who just graduated college, moved into our second bedroom for a month while she finds a place. My girlfriend is pissed off because I don't want to charge my sister rent for living with us. Good guy move. It's not a big deal. We're at a standstill, and I don't know what to do. I love my girlfriend, but I don't want to change my sister's rent. Hmm. Or I don't want to charge my sister rent.
Right. Yep.
Please help. Well, I'm staying with my kids, and they're not charging me rent.
Whoa.
What can I say?
Big time move by them.
I think that is a stand-up thing to do.
Family first.
Always family first.
So, yeah, what do you think? Do you think this guy should just tell his girlfriend, like, hey, why don't you buzz off?
No, I don't think he should tell her to buzz off. I think he should just say, this is the way it is.
Take a
like
dump
it,
in front of me.
Yeah, take the dump.
Yeah, uh-huh. Take a dump and let me
take
know.
Take a dump.
Yeah, that
dump
works.
Girl.
Dump girl, dump lady.
What do you think about the idea of, like, having the sister or the person who's not paying rent do certain things around the house?
Is absolutely.
Like, tidying up.
Mm-hmm. Flushing dumps.
Yeah, flushing their own dumps frequently.
You gotta pay your way. You gotta do something.
So what do you do around your house?
I clean their apartments. I do their laundry.
You get this internship?
I got the internship. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, you nailed this internship that got you out of the house every now and then. Uh-huh. You're getting paid.
Oh, yeah.
You are.
That I thought I had to pay you. So that's the way I thought it was.
How much money do you have on you, Jill?
Because, the way it works is you get paid, but then you just transfer that money to
us.
That's what I thought.
All right, so Jilly Football, first day in the books. You can follow her at Jilly_football. You're going to be tweeting. We want you tweeting all your thoughts. Anything else you have for us? I mean,
what are your thoughts on Twitter, Jill, so far?
Yeah.
What's your experience?
It's confusing. I'm sorry. You know, if it wasn't for my darling Jake, I don't think I could do it. He has to come and practically hold my hand. And
you'll be just fine. You know what you should do while you're still learning to get the hang of Twitter? You should write down all your tweets.
Yeah.
Instead of tweeting them, and then when you get into the office, we can help you tweet them out.
Or write down your tweets and take a picture of them, and then tweet the picture.
That's a good idea.
That's a streamlined thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that really works. All your thoughts. And by the way, not to give you any pressure or anything, but you are up to 5,000 Twitter followers.
Oh, wow.
So the world is watching.
Wow. I'm a lucky woman,
You're
eh?
Very
yeah.
popular.
Yeah, you are very, very
I also like how you call Jake my darling Jake. I'd like to see that continue. That's, mm-hmm. I think I might call him my darling Jake.
Yeah. All right, so Jill... every Friday, you're going to be on in the summer. It's going to be a fun little summer license to Jill. And make sure you come back with some things that you're disappointed we're going to screw up.
Oh, well, you will.
Yeah, yes, we will.
You will screw
no
up.
No dump lady.
But it's about getting up. Knock me down 7 times, get up 8.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jill. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Love you guys.
Talk to the mic.
Love you guys.
Needless to say, I'm all sending it, but I need some love.